Welcome to Bible Truths. Today's lesson is titled, Given to Reading. Text today, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And I'd like to urge you to take out your Bible and follow along. To introduce this lesson by reading from verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, why would I want to talk about this subject? Well, it seems to me that there is a general lack of reading the Bible. It seems to me also that people seem to be more interested in reading, maybe a popular writer such as Joel Osteen, Max Lucado, or perhaps Hal Lindsey. And the question I want to ask you, is that what Christians really are supposed to be given to reading? So let's take a deeper look at this passage, our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Here we have the Apostle Paul writing to instruct Timothy, a young evangelist preacher. These things command and teach, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attention to reading, that is scripture, to exhortation, in other words, urging to do, to doctrine, that which is taught. Some versions add, give attention to public reading. But the context does not demand that it be put in there. And in the original Greek, the word public is not part of the definition. So why would I be bringing this up? Because it leads people to believe that the reading that's talking about here is only be done, perhaps, publicly in worship. So that's why it's important to have a good version of the Bible. Let's go on and read verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Here, Paul is writing Timothy to command and teach these things. What things is he talking about specifically? First of all, to be given to reading Scripture. Well, how do we know that? Because the context suggests that. He talks about things like doctrine, things that are taught. Paul is an inspired apostle of God, and he's commanding Timothy to pay attention to reading, give time to that. And so he's wanting him to focus on God's word, not on man's word, because man's word is just their opinion. And we don't want that. We want to know what God expects. So he goes on, he tells them here, to give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So he's urging people to action, and he's urging people to learn what God teaches. So what is Timothy supposed to do about these things? Well, verse 15 suggests this. He says, meditate or think about these things, and give yourself entirely to them. This is important. In other words, be committed to this. So why is he supposed to do that? Well, the context suggests the answer to that in verse 16 and verse 15 also. Let's read it again. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed yourself to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So, let me ask a question. Does this passage suggest that this is only for Timothy to be doing this? Or is this for all people to be doing this? Well, let's look at verse 11 and 12 again. He says, these things command and teach. Verse 12 says he's supposed to be an example to the believers in various different things. Not only in the word he teaches, but in his conduct. That doesn't sound like it's to Timothy only. But if you had any doubt about that, let's see what else the Apostle Paul says to Timothy in his second letter to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And these things you have heard from me among many witnesses. commit these to faithful men. In other words, men and women who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:15 adds this, be diligent, the King James Version says, study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, or some versions say, handling the word of truth. These are things he's supposed to teach everyone to know and to do. Now, let's focus on this subject more specifically. 1 Timothy 4:13, give attention to reading. That's what I want to focus on. Well, in order for Timothy to read well, or for anyone to be well, he needs to be familiar with the text, with the scripture, especially if he wants to teach others. And reading is a type of instruction. However, some people have told me they have a hard time getting into reading. And to tell you the truth, sometimes I've had a problem with that very issue. And you know, the reason I found was because I was approaching and thinking about it wrong. And why is that? Because it's an important and can be very interesting and perhaps even exciting at times. So first of all, I'd like to look at the value of reading Scripture. Scripture talks about things like salvation and eternal life. How to get that? In John chapter 6, verse 68, we have Simon Peter talking to Jesus, where he says, you have the words of eternal life. John 5:39 adds this. This is Jesus speaking to the Jews. You teach the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. He was telling the Jews they were right about the Scriptures, and they needed to be serious about them. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we have an angel communicating to the Joseph, the father of Jesus. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It tells us how to be saved. The Scriptures also warn us to be careful what we believe. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets or teachers have gone out into the world. We, that is the apostles, are of God. He who knows God hears us, that is the apostles. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, we need to test what we believe from the Scriptures. Is it really the truth or not? The Scriptures say if we don't know what's these things, we really don't know God. And we need to compare the Scriptures with what we believe. But there's another reason why that is. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 suggest it. And then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide or continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in context, that's from sin. These are significant things to know. In regards to heaven, the Scripture talks about that too. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24, adds this with a similar context. He says, then he said to him, Lord, are there few saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. These passages are suggesting that few people are going to heaven. Well, why? Because they're not striving the way God wants them to really pay attention to what God is teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, part of our text, adds this, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And not only that, it suggests we need to be like Timothy is. Be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's verse 12. We have to continue in the truth in order to be saved. That's what these passages teach. So therefore, it implies that we need to know what the scriptures teach. Another thing we need to understand as far as being given to reading is we're expected to understand. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, by revelation, he, that is God, made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This passage suggests that when we read the Bible, which we receive from the apostles or the prophets, we are expected to understand. And one way to understand better is suggested by 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the King James Version, the old King James Version. So what's involved in studying? Well, reading, taking notes, being aware of the context, that is, the immediate context and the extended context. In other words, we need to know what the Bible teaches, what it says. We need to think about or meditate on it. 1 Timothy 4:15 suggests that, meditate on these things. We need to be curious about what God says for us, to ask questions, like think, what is the purpose of the book or this passage? So how important is it? Well, the Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy to give yourself entirely to that in verse 15 of our text, and that we're supposed to follow likewise. So much so, we need to make it a habit to set a time every day to read for a period of time, a decent period of time. It is so important that we need to be praying about it to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 suggests this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, and if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, his will is to make sure that we understand what he's trying to communicate to us. But don't think for one minute that just because we pray to God for understanding doesn't mean that we're going to be able to understand without putting the effort forth to try to learn what God says. It's so important, we need to make it interesting. We can make anything interesting if we try hard enough. One of the things we can do as far as reading the scriptures, we can read a variety of scriptures daily, not just one passage, but several passages. We can use reference materials, like a good dictionary. We could even read out loud instead of silently. We can involve others. We could discuss scriptures with them. What does it mean? We can think about the importance of the topic. And if you aren't excited about reading or studying the scriptures, maybe there's a problem. And perhaps the problem is our approach. It was for me. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14 suggests a reason. The context is of King Rehoboam, king of Judah. And he did evil. Why? Because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. In Ezra chapter 6 and dropping down verse 10, also adds something. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. But what did he do to prepare? Well, the scripture doesn't say specifically, but when we're trying to prepare for something, we think of ways to make sure that we are going to be able to accomplish our task. In other words, one thing we do is we're committed. We set time aside. We maybe ask not to be interrupted in what we're doing. We pray, maybe asking God to help us to be wiser in what we do. And if we do it with the idea to to teach others. That's what Ezra was doing. He was preparing his heart to teach these statutes and ordinances in Israel. Well, if you read to study to teach someone else, may it be your spouse, maybe your family or whatever, gives a motivation to understand and learn what God says. Well, what might some other problems be? Well, depression might be one. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, says this about that. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You know, maybe the solution is this. Maybe we need to learn to trust God. And where do we learn about God? Well, it's in His written word. God has given us all kinds of good news in the Bible, like how to be saved. He gives us instructions on how to prevent problems, and not only that, to solve problems, how to approach it, and who we need to please, that is the Lord. Another potential problem is sometimes people believe a lie. Maybe it's about themselves. Maybe it's about a term of Scripture that people use, and they use it incorrectly sometimes. One of those terms that seems to be commonly misused is the word grace. The word grace in the Greek means favor. That's all it means. So it's the context that suggests what it's talking about. Usually people say it means unconditional favor. But when you study the context of the Scripture, you see that it rarely, if ever, says that. What it usually means is undeserved or unmerited favor. A specific passage we should look in regards to this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's look at this passage a little more carefully. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Well, first of all, we need to understand the context. The context is, this is being written to Christians. He's talking about what God has done for His people. And then it's by the grace of God that we're saved. We're not unconditionally saved. We're not deserving to be saved. And that's what the passage suggests. Look at this more carefully. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, we don't deserve it. It's unmerited. And then he suggests we need to do something. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the reason we were created, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This doesn't say anything about unconditionally. This suggests we need to have faith to do what God says. That's what it suggests in context, and the definition of the term agrees with it. What else might be some problems? Well, sometimes we don't have enough faith about if a person is really truly saved, they may not have the faith and joy or peace that they should have. Something we need to think about, if we're truly saved, where is there greater joy or peace in knowing that you're right with God and you're going to be with God forever in heaven? And God gives you assurance of this when you know His word. But if you don't know His word, how can you say you're saved? Especially if you haven't done what He said to be. Some other issues or hindrances to understand might be sometimes we're distracted with pleasures or addictions, perhaps. We're not focusing or prioritizing our life properly. Like, for instance, not reading enough of the Bible or often enough to really understand it. We're not really given to it. There's a lot of different suggested readings of the Bible, to read the Bible through in a year. And I'm thinking about that, and it seems to me that maybe that's not enough. If this topic is so important, maybe we need to be reading it six times a year, all the way through. Maybe we're starving ourselves. It's critically important to know this book. So why would we only read it once through in a year. Another issue or hindrance might be balance in our life. One of the problems I had in my life was I didn't give myself enough exercise. Like, for instance, when I was in college, I would sit all day in class, you know, being mentally thinking about what the professors were teaching me. And I'd go home and think I could just sit down and start reading and studying and doing all that. But I couldn't absorb anything. I was so fidgety. I just couldn't settle down to read and study and to think about what I had learned that day and what I needed to do. And I found out that I wasn't getting enough exercise. Well, the interesting thing is the scriptures say something about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "For bodily exercise profits a little." There is profit in exercise. Ecclesiastes 12:12 adds this, "And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh." In other words, we need to have some balance in our life. We need to be doing things, not only reading and studying and knowing God's Word. We need to do things to make sure we can do these things. If you're working all day in the office and you're exercising yourself mentally, maybe you need to go for a walk. Another hindrance, perhaps, or issue, which I kind of made reference to earlier, was perhaps the version of the Bible you're reading isn't such a good version. There's three different types of Bibles generally out there. There's one that's a translation, which is a word-for-word translation. Or there is a thought-for-thought translation, or what they call a paraphrase. Well, a thought-for-thought or paraphrase Bible is basically one that uses different words than the original text or language suggests. Well, why is this important? Because a paraphrase or thought-for-thought ends up oftentimes being a commentary of what man thinks it means. In other words, it just becomes the opinion of men. And if you have a really bad version of the Bible, you may not be getting what you need. Because we want to take the easy way sometimes by having a version like this. Well, what does it mean? We want somebody to tell us what it means. Well, if our salvation is dependent on knowing what God says, then we better know what it is for ourselves. Let's look at an example. I'm going to look at the New King James Version, which is the version I use most of the time, versus the NIV Version. The NIV Version is a popular version. It's also referred to as a New International Version. And the New King James Version is basically updated language of the King James Version, which is a word-for-word translation of the original language. The NIV Version is also a translation, but it's also a thought-for-thought translation. They combine the two. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself that that's not so bad. Well, maybe most of the time it isn't. But let's look at a scripture passage that suggests that maybe it's not so good. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, let's look at that. Now, on the surface, maybe it doesn't seem like there's much difference. But what I want to focus on is a specific phrase here. The New King James Version says, "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind." The NIV Version says, "Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature." Well, the problem here in context, nature here means something that has become that way by a long habit or practice. That's what it means. But the NIV Version makes you think that you were born inherently evil. It's not true in this passage. So a good translation is important. And what the versions I recommend are the American Standard, the King James Version, and the New King James Version to be used as your primary Bible. And the last hindrance or issue I want to cover is our mindset. Example of that would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, where we have a contrast between wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, that is Christians, who are being saved, it is the power of God." Drop down to verse 20. "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The message of the cross is foolishness of the world. And you know what? Sometimes we use the wisdom of the world to explain Scripture away. I think we've all been guilty of that. And we need to make sure that we're honest about truly trying to understand what God says. An example of that would be baptism, perhaps. The importance of baptism. In Mark 16:16, it says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Those who do not believe will be condemned." And some people explain this away and say, we only have to believe to be saved. And yet, God connects it both together to be saved. So if our wisdom that we're using, the reasoning that we're using, nullifies what the Scripture says, explains it away like it's not even there, we know there's a problem with it. That's just an example. And there's many we could have as far as that. And finally, what I want to stress to you is suggested in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is God's communication to man. And one final question I want to ask you. Are we receiving His message as He intended it? Thank you so much for your kind attention today.